of the Holy Savior. It was the first church consecrated after the age of persecution. Remember the battle at the end of the year 313? Constantine the Great brought an end to the age of persecution of the church. And the first 300 years of our church to be a member of the Catholic Church was to become a martyr. But Constantine brought an end to that persecution, and one of his acts was a symbol of the ending of that persecution, was to build the church. In fact, he built many churches, like St. Peter's was one of them, and this was another. He built this church with the arch dedicated to the Holy Savior, this Church of St. John Lateran, the Latin Gate. And Emperor Constantine built this cathedral and then gave it to the Pope. The Pope came in and consecrated it before the year 320. And this consecration ceremony that he performed was essentially the same consecration ceremony that we performed in the consecration of this Church of St. Isidore's a few years ago. The ceremony was begun by Pope St. Sylvester, the consecration especially of a stone altar. In the first 300 years of the church, the altars were primarily made out of wood because of the persecution. If the Romans would come in and search a house, they would quickly take the altar apart and hide it. But now that the age of persecution was over with, the altar could be made of stone, and Pope St. Sylvester decreed that from this day forward, all altars must be made out of stone, since the rock of Calvary was stone, and since there was no longer the grave danger of persecution that once existed. And so the altar was made, was dedicated. Angels appeared miraculously during the consecration of the church of St. Sylvester, while St. Sylvester was performing the consecration, and it marked the conclusion of the age of persecution and the beginning of the age of growth and peace, relative peace, although there would be other persecutions along the way in the Catholic Church, but laid the foundations for the Middle Ages. And so this feast celebrates that. And then the Mass is the Mass of the dedication of the church. And so some considerations here today, taken in part from St. Jerome and St. Augustine, especially on Zacchaeus and on the house of God. It is the only time in sacred scripture, in the gospel, in which our Lord says, "I must stay in your house." Zacchaeus, come down quickly, Festinans. Come down quickly, Zacchaeus, for this day I must stay in your house. Our Lord stayed in the house of St. Peter many times. He stayed in the house of Lazarus many times. They were his favorite places of dwelling. And yet he never says of the house of St. Peter nor of the house of Lazarus that he must stay in that house. This is the only time in the gospel where he says, "I must stay." And if there is a second time that can be likened unto it, it is the night of Holy Thursday, when our Lord tells Peter, James, and John to go into the city of Jerusalem and to find a specific house where he must stay that night to celebrate the Last Supper, which will be the institution of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the institution of the Holy Eucharist, and of the priesthood. These sacraments would come to be at the upper chamber, which are the cenacle, which our Lord said he had to be at. And the other time that he had to be at someone's actual house, the only time to be at someone's actual house, was this day that he said, "I must be with you, Zacchaeus." So the saints contemplate Zacchaeus and the house of God. The house of God, this church is a house of God. And this house of God is a place where Zacchaeus received Christ joyfully. He was a rich man and received him into a rich house. And from this we learn, say the saints, that the house of God, where we receive him permanently in the Blessed Sacrament, where he is on the altar, if we really believe that Jesus Christ is God, then we will not build a house that is less than the absolute best that we can do. It will not be less than the perfect. We read in the Old Testament that Solomon, when he built the temple, which was a house for the presence of God, it was not for the actual place of God's dwelling, but simply a symbolic place of his presence in a symbolic way. This house was made of the most beautiful materials, the best artisans the world had to offer, and the greatest architecture that the world could produce at that time. That's what Solomon produced for the presence of God. In the New Testament, we build the house, which are our Catholic churches, where God is going to be present. If we really and truly believe that God is going to come to this house, then like Zacchaeus, we will make sure that the house is in the most beautiful fashion prepared and is the most beautiful of houses for the Master, the most beautiful house that we're capable of preparing. And so our churches must be as beautiful as possible. Several reasons for this. Firstly, because we're receiving the King and we don't give the King the second best. But secondly, our houses of God must be beautiful because they are reminders of heaven. When you walk into the door of this church, you are to be reminded of heaven, which is the end and goal of your life. You are not here to have a great time on this earth and then die and go into oblivion. You are here to prepare in this vale of tears for eternal happiness in a better world. When you walk into a church, there is a reminder to the eyes and to the ears and to our whole being that there is a better world. That's why we have beautiful music and why we have a beautiful building, to remind us that we are to be prepared for a better world, which is the kingdom of heaven. We aren't here for this earth, we are here for heaven. And we human beings need visible reminders. And so one day in seven, you come into a building like this. And in the building, you are reminded, I am not here in order to make $1 million. I am not here to become wealthy and powerful and to become popular in this world. It will not give me happiness. It will not give me true beauty to my life. I need a place like this. And what makes this place beautiful? It is the house of God. Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, divinity, dwells in the tabernacle. And that's the beauty of this house. And when we build it for His glory, as Zacchaeus prepared his house for the glory of God. But why Zacchaeus, say the saints? Zacchaeus was a publican. And we must remember that publicans were sinners. They were thieves. They stole the money from the people, and they took advantage of the economic system that was available at the time. They stole from the Jews in order to benefit the Gentiles. They stole from their own people. Publicans were not good men. Zacchaeus was a publican. And he was rich, which means he was a very successful publican. He stole very much from his own people. So Zacchaeus was a thief. Zacchaeus was a sinner. And Zacchaeus is the one whom Christ spoke to say, I must stay in your house. Why? St. Jerome asks, what are the characteristics of Zacchaeus? What makes him different even than St. Peter and Lazarus, the friend of Christ? Lazarus was also rich, richer than Zacchaeus, but Lazarus was a virtuous man, whereas Zacchaeus was not. There are several things about Zacchaeus. First of all, he climbed the sycamore tree. And this tells us many things about him. We know that only children climb trees. And if one walks into a large crowd and sees an adult, particularly a rich man with his rich outfit climbing up into a tree, one will mock at him and laugh at him as a child. You've gone insane. This act of Zacchaeus climbing the tree shows, says St. Jerome, that he does not care about the opinion of men, but that the sight of Christ is more important to him. Zacchaeus tells us what kind of disposition we need to have in our souls before we can benefit from being inside of this church. We are all sinners like Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus was able to act like a child and climb a tree, lest he would not see Christ when he passed by. Also remember this, says St. Jerome, our Lord shall pass by only so many times in your life. When will be the last time that He passes by? And if you catch not a glimpse of Him now, shall you have another chance? And so now that we see Christ and we hear that He is passing by, we need to climb the tree. We need to do whatever it takes, regardless of the mockery of men. Many are mocked simply because they go to church, particularly if you come to the true Mass, which is given here. Zacchaeus was mocked, but he did not care because he wanted to see Christ when he climbed by. So the first characteristic of Zacchaeus, the sinner, is that he would rather see Christ even if it meant that he would be mocked or scorned by the world. And another thing we know about him is his humility. For it says in the gospel, he was small of stature. That is not only referred to his physical smallness, but also his spiritual smallness. You know, they call it the small man's disease, the Napoleon disease. You ever notice how small guys always walk around acting like they're big? They like to pretend like they're powerful. They like to lord their power over everyone else. It's a small man disease. Small men walk around and they pretend like they're big. They pretend like they're tough. Well, Zacchaeus was just happy to be small. He did not pretend like he was tall. I can see. Just because I'm short and can't see doesn't mean I can't see. He just simply climbed a tree. And this smallness of stature shows the second characteristic of the sinner who benefits from the church, and that's humility. Zacchaeus benefits from the church because he's humble. He benefits from the church because he climbs up into the tree, realizing that he has to do something different in order to find Christ, since he is not going to find him on his own. He's willing to take steps to find Christ, even if the world mocks him. And then the third difference of Zacchaeus is his generosity. Remember that he is a thief. All of his money is ill-gotten. He has not justly received any of his money. And yet, when he talks to our Lord, "I give half of all I have to the poor. And if someone I believe that I have wronged, I return him fourfold." And it is interesting. Many, says St. Jerome, believe, "Well, I'm in the state of mortal sin, so I should not make reparation. It doesn't do me any good anyway." And that is not true, say the saints. The saints tell us that even when we are in the state of mortal sin, like Zacchaeus was on this day that he climbed the tree, we must give generously to the poor. And Zacchaeus the sinner, the third reason why Christ says, "I must come to your house," is that he recognizes the need for repentance. You know, there are people whom we meet as priests sometimes. "You know, Father, I know I'm not living a good life, but you know what? I always, you know, whenever I pass a bum on the streets, there's a guy in the, I always give him 10 bucks. Because, you know, I figure, you know, sooner or later it's got to come down and do me some good." And in fact, it's true. It will do some good. It doesn't justify his evil, but it lays the foundation for a repentance. It's a reminder that I need to do penance. Even though I'm in the state of sin, even though I'm living in a bad marriage, even though I'm not doing the right thing, even though I'm a thief, I still must give to the poor. I still must make reparation. And this reparation that is made, even when we're in the state of sin, benefits the soul and turns it back, helps turn it back to God. And so for these three reasons, Christ says, "I must come to your house." And so it is with the soul that comes into this church. "Each of our souls is a house," say the saints. And our house is either going to be filled with Christ, or it is going to be filled with hell, filled with sin, filled with the devil. And very often when we come into this church, we come in the state of mortal sin, as enemies of God. He is in the tabernacle, and he wants to go from this large house of this physical church, and from the house of that tabernacle, into the house of our souls. If we practice the three things of Zacchaeus, even though he's in sin, that we're not afraid to climb a sycamore and be mocked, that we're not afraid to recognize our own weakness and our own smallness. Even if we are rich, we are nothing. We are not to think too much of ourselves, humility. And that we recognize the need for repentance and we do little things to show our sorrow by being generous to the poor and so on. These three things ensure that Christ will come to our house. Everyone wants our Lord to come to his house. Everybody wants our Lord to be in his house. Zacchaeus tells us what we must do. And the beauty of the story of Zacchaeus is that he was not even a good man. And if Zacchaeus the sinner, Zacchaeus the thief, Zacchaeus the impure? If Zacchaeus was able to have Christ come to his house out of necessity, then so will Christ come to our houses. It is a blessed day, says our Lord, because salvation has come to this house. He who was lost has been found. And Zacchaeus turned away from his sin because Christ came to his house. And for this reason, on the feast of the dedication of any church, we always read this Gospel of Zacchaeus. Because though this physical building is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven is for saints, and we aren't. So we feel guilty walking into this space, or we should. And then we are reminded of Zacchaeus, who was also guilty when he called Christ joyfully into his own home. And if the guilty Zacchaeus can call Christ into his own home, so we can call Christ into the homes of our hearts. But Zacchaeus could not call Christ to his home unless he first went to where Christ was. Unless he went to Christ as he passed by. Unless you come to this church, you cannot have Christ go to your home. You still have to go to Mass. You still have to go to confession. Many people nowadays, they say, well, you know, I believe in Jesus and He comes to my own home and I don't need to go to church. I don't need organized religion. If there was not Christ walking through the village where Zacchaeus lived, if there weren't 12 apostles going around and saying, remember our Lord says, Luke chapter 10, this is Luke chapter 19, the gospel today. In Luke chapter 10, our Lord has described the disciples, go to all the villages before I come and tell them, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming, so the people may come out and greet me. And that's what the priests do. The priests walk out in the city of Denver and they walk in through the airports and they walk to wherever the people are and they say, Christ is here and He's in that church. Now get your buttocks in there. That's what He's supposed to do. And that's what the disciples did before Christ came into any city. He said He's going to be walking down this street and He's going to walk down that street. So be there so that when He passes by, you can see Him. You can hear His words, and He can perhaps perform a miracle for you. So likewise, the disciples of the New Testament, the priests, go out into the world, and they say, Christ is in the tabernacle. Christ is in the Catholic Church. Go there. There you will find Him. And if you are like Zacchaeus, do not be afraid. Climb the sycamore. Don't be afraid of sticking your neck out. Don't be afraid of a little adventure. People nowadays say they want adventure. As they sit in front of their video game screen and play adventure games. If you want a real adventure, go to where Christ is. Go to the confessional. Go to the Mass. Go to where Christ is. And then He will transform us. And then when we leave this place, He travels with us. We come and fill ourselves up with Christ in this church. And then when we go out those doors, He travels with us. Unless we ever lose Him, we go back to be filled again with Him, and then He travels out again with us. And so let's be filled with Christ, and let's remember that this church is the place where we tank up with Christ. And then tomorrow morning, remember Mass at 8:30 at the school, Saturday Mass at 5:30 p.m. here at St. Isidore's, and then the second collection will be for the building fund. And we'll close it at that, and God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.